This is an ABC podcast.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Do you consider yourself to be a feminist? And what does a modern feminist look like today? And here's a question. Is it possible for a man to be a feminist? But are there stereotypes and assumptions all wrapped around what sort of woman is a feminist? Can you whiten your teeth? Can you get Botox and still be a feminist? What does it mean to be a feminist? Good morning. My name's Rochelle Hunt, your co-host this morning, joining you from ABC Warrnambool, Dan Miles. Dan, so many questions wrapped around today's curly question. But when I say feminist, I'm going to throw you to the wolves here. What do you think?
I guess when I think feminist and what is a feminist, my first exposure to this was actually, if I really test the memory bank, it was Mary Poppins, of all things, going back and watching and asking my parents, like, what's the go with Mrs. Banks? What is all of this? That was my original exposure to the idea of suffragettes and what it means to be a woman and to push for equality. So to take it back to your original question,
I never ever dreamt my wildest dreams that your answer would be Mary Poppins.
Of course. Mary Poppins is the answer to most of my, most of the questions I get asked anyway, but that was my initial exposure to what is this idea of having to push for equality. And from there, I'm, you know, very happy to report that it's much more real voices that come in and teach about things like equality, things people like, you know, your Greta Gerwigs through Barbie, of course, Jane Fonda, Gloria Steinem. And I think one of the more powerful voices for me, randomly enough, was Kurt Cobain, that movement through Nirvana and the grunge period. He was one of the first male feminists to really come up in my world. So I guess that's the way that I sort of lean into it. And I mean, you've thrown me to the wolves a little bit, but I think, you know, there will be people saying, why have we got a bloke talking about feminism? But if blokes aren't talking about feminism, it's like fighting a fight with half a hand behind your back, really. It has to be something that everyone buys into, from my perspective. And I think I do put my hand up and say, I do consider myself a feminist, because the idea of pushing for equality across all things is in no way foreign to me. It's a real no-brainer.
The idea, too, of having that pivot point, that one moment, whether it be a Mary Poppins film, a Kurt Cobain, a Taylor Swift, a nana, an auntie, a mum, a dad, as someone in your life that makes you question and think about equality and makes you think about feminism. But if you're never really exposed to that, can you still be a feminist? And can you have different levels of feminism? And is there a difference between the type of feminist maybe that we had in the 50s and the 60s versus the feminists today? As a man, as a woman, as a trans person, do you call yourself a feminist? And what does being a feminist mean to you?
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Good morning. My name's Rochelle Hunt, your co-host this morning, Dan Miles, joining you from ABC Warrnambool. And in the studio as well, Nat Tenchich, producer and presenter for RN, including Life Matters. Nat, Dan has spoken about Kurt Cobain. When I think about that pivotal woman in my life, strangely, I think about my nana.
Yeah.
She never, ever said the word feminist. She was a woman who had her hair done. A hairdresser came to her house and set her hair every day. She dressed impeccably. Wow. She was amazing. Yet she gave me the strength and the confidence to stand up and be myself in a small country town. So when I think about feminism, I think about confidence to be yourself. What does being a feminist mean?
To me, to
you.
In general?
Both.
To me, being a feminist means that you believe in women's equality and women's liberation. It means that we believe in an equal and fair society where we don't bring down or, you know, oppress another person based on whatever marker of woman you want to choose, whether that's acting in a feminine manner, a feminine disposition, whether that's having a uterus or XX chromosomes or whatever your definition is. And gosh, we could get like really sticky about that. But it's the fact that we do not use these markers to treat somebody differently or not afford them different rights or second class rights in this society.
Mm. Nat, give us a crash course. And this is a big loaded question for you. But feminism has changed over the decades, hasn't it? We've had waves of feminism that have brought around different results in society. But where are we at now versus the traditional idea of feminism that a lot of people would have in their minds?
Yeah, I mean, I think feminism sort of, you talk about different sort of schools of feminism.
What a word to do a show on, a word we can't say.
But I think you mentioned there the suffragette movement that you saw in Mary Poppins, you know, like votes for women. And that's a huge part of, I guess, its beginnings, not fully, like obviously the Renaissance, the Enlightenment was sort of like a beginning of the rising of feminist thought, the questioning of, you know, a woman is owned, you know, a wife is a man's property or whatever, like to be able to step back and question the logic of that particular statement was able to come about because of Enlightenment thought or whatever. Not necessarily because there's been, you know, matriarchal societies and feminist thought for all of human history, but I'm just talking about the way that we think about it today. It continues to evolve and it continues to push for very material rights, like you said, like the vote, like the right to own property, like the right to open a bank account, which is something that in a lot of countries women couldn't do until the 70s, which is wild to think about. And then you start to have evolving schools of thought where we're looking at where women's oppression has come from and what the causes of that are and what the systems in place are that keep women being thought of as a secondary citizen, to the point where we are now, where we, I suppose, like still have all of these different schools of thought interacting with each other. But I think the main one that's sort of risen in the like third and fourth waves of feminism has been intersectional feminism. It's been bringing together various sort of classes of people across racial lines, gender lines, LGBTQ lines to put over a united front when it comes to gaining rights for people.
Texts on this, the word feminist is often seen as derogatory and I think we need to change that or find a new word. Another, Rochelle, feminism is about equal pay and equal work. So far, I've just heard a lot of irrelevant rubbish about teeth, hair and confidence. What a load of rubbish, says Annie in Bayswater. And another that says, surely the word feminism itself is no longer appropriate these days. A lot of non-gender language is being championed. Can't we all just be humans? How much of this is about women supporting women and not putting labels onto things, do you think, Dan? I mean, you said before, as a man being a feminist, I think a long time ago people would have thought that men can't be feminists.
Mm. And I think that was probably something that slowly changed over the generations. But as we become more accepting and more tolerant and actually more comfortable talking about things like sex and gender and all variety of things, people are probably feeling a little bit more confident to come out as a feminist. Though I still think, I'm sure if I threw that I guess, title around with some of my mates, there'd be a lot of people who still would sort of shake their head and quiz that as, why is a man being a feminist? But it's part of that slow movement that we're making.
Helen McCabe is the founder and managing director of Future Women. Helen, when we throw around the term feminism, everything from, are you a feminist? Are you a hardcore feminist? Are you not feminist enough? Can a man be a feminist? What's the first thing that springs to mind when I say feminist to you?
I think deeply personal. I think everyone comes at this from various different points. I'm increasingly conscious my version of feminism is generational. I'm in my mid-50s. I have worked in male-dominated spaces for most of my career in media and have lived through all of the things that today younger feminists would be appalled by. I could easily and did shake it off. And I may have done that to survive. I may have done that because I was socialized not to be offended. or a combination of both. So I think it's quite personal. I also would say that my feminism has began as a kid thinking that's not fair, to just survival, to now kind of a bit of a late convert in some ways. I don't think I was ever the real activist in this space. I identify a bit with the Julie Bishop version in a
but
way.
But do you have to be an activist? That's the interesting bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, and is that where a lot of the labels coming in saying, well, then you have to be hardcore, and it's now seen as a derogatory term because if you're not fighting constantly, then you're not a real feminist?
For me, no. I think it's a personal decision, and there are a whole bunch of reasons why you may not want to be fighting every day, and that's because you're trying to find somewhere to live because your rent's going up or you've been kicked out or you've got three children and one's got a disability. So in the Future Women world, we work with a lot of underemployed and unemployed women, and it's really interesting about that version of feminism because there's just bigger fish to fry, to put it really bluntly. Yeah. But where you are got the opportunities like I have to have these conversations and think about it and to advocate, then, you know, I think there is a space for us to be more proactive and, I guess, to mount the arguments, particularly when you're in an environment of the family violence and the domestic violence debate we've got right now.
Helen, as the founder of Managing and Managing Director of Future Women, you're obviously looking at the generations that have come through, but also that next generation that's going to take up this battle. Is it easier or harder now, do you think, for young women to take on that mantle of feminism? Has it changed?
Yeah, great question. Look, I'm going to answer this in two ways. The women that I work with, and we've got 50 staff, most of them are, you know, under 30, and we attract an incredible talent pool because there is a real enthusiasm for the work we do and for making a difference and for the intersectional disadvantages that you mentioned when I first came on to the show. But I also think there's a backlash, and I'm not in that backlash. I'm in an echo chamber. So I just want to talk about that backlash because I'm increasingly thinking about it. I even hate using his name, but the Andrew Tate well, where young men are being fed a diet of anti-female misogynistic content, and I'm not obviously being fed that. So I do think for young women who are on the fringes of these debates, there is still feminism is a dirty word, and they struggle to identify with it because of peer pressure and the backlash that we're seeing in society right now.
There's text here saying, shouldn't we actually be talking about and defining masculinity today, says Neil. Can you stay with us, Helen, apologies, because I want to go to Tony, who's in South Melbourne. Hi, Tony.
Oh, good day. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What do you want to share?
I guess I began my journey studying feminism by being a political economy student and studied feminism in Adelaide as part of economics. So the perspective I have is that feminism is effectively humanism, but all humans and women are basically confronting the consequences of patriarchy and the economics of patriarchy. It's no wonder that currently the five richest people in the world are tech billionaires, men, who basically spread cohesion and provide platforms for the likes of misogynists online with no social accountability. That's because they've got such sheer economic power. Mm. We're now in the process of taking Elon Musk to court. We're now facing the consequences of Facebook abandoning Australia because they don't want to pay a decent amount of money to keep our media commentariat going that can interrogate power. So I think patriarchy is a critical element here, and I think that men adopt so much of patriarchal ethos that they absorb it unconsciously.
Wow, Tony, there's a lot of fist pumping in the air to things that you're saying right now. And strangely, I want to bring up a comparison, Tony, to what you were just saying then when you talk about feminism and economics. My daughter is 10. She's a mad Swiftie, loves Taylor Swift. There was a headline that I saw just recently where it's asked the question, has Taylor Swift become too successful? So I actually wanted to use that as a way to start to talk to her about feminism and equality. And I said to her, if Taylor Swift was a man, do you ever think they would say, well, has he become too successful? And when we look at economics and success. Why do you agree so fiercely with Tony, Nat?
Oh, when it comes to what I was fiercely agreeing with Tony about was the existence of patriarchy and the fact that that is something that needs to be broken down in order to really experience equality when it comes to women. And when I say, like, let's break down patriarchy, it doesn't mean, you know, the end of men or anything or disliking men. I don't dislike men. I have lots of male friends. I have a male partner. It's
there
know.
Is that rhetoric though, isn't there? That feminists exactly. hate men.
Yeah, and I think it's a distraction from what feminists actually hate, which is the oppression based on your gender. And when we see that there is a who is doing the oppressing, it is men. It is a it's a patriarchy. Individual men benefit from this, and this is why Daniel was sort of talking about. It's difficult to be a male feminist, or it's tricky. It's a hard thing to navigate.
People question it. They question it.
What
are your motives behind this?
And what it means too, if you look at it more broadly, is it's like, oh, you're a man who's complicit in their own, taking away your own power, which is, what we're talking about too with when Helen was talking about the fear of backlash, the rise of Andrew Tate.
I want to get into backlash, especially within the workplace. Helen McCabe, as the founding and managing director of Future for Women, can men be feminists?
I'm dying for you to ask me this question because we began a program in 2019. Kate Jenkins gave me a phone call and said, we really need to start having conversation with men rather than at men. And I'm verbaling Kate then. I'm sure she put it a bit more politely than that. And so we began a program called Change Makers. And so now for the last 3 or 4 years, I have been involved in workshops with men to talk about how to be better leaders in a gender equal society. So essentially we're saying to men, come into the conversation, put it all out on the table. What are the things that really irk you? What is this feminism thing that's bothering you? Your wife or your sister says women are quite happy to be childcare workers, they're better at being childcare workers, and that therefore, they are happy to take lower salaries. All of that nonsense, bring it to the table and let's have a conversation about it. And what I have learned in the past, I've had 3 years of running this program, is that there are amazing men in the world, lots of really decent men like the ones you're talking to today, who are very committed to greater equity, but also that leaving them out of the conversation is not a great idea. And if you bring them in and start to acknowledge that gender equality actually has some significant benefits for men, then you can have some pretty powerful outcomes. So usually by the second day of this conversation we're having with them, there is a penny drop moment where men realize that the pressure on them to be the breadwinner and to ride that corporate ladder and to get that pay rise and to be seen as successful in the bigger car and the bigger house and all the pressure that men feel starts to relax. And if that there's a greater sharing of those responsibilities, then men can benefit quite substantially from this. So it is an interesting conversation to open up in a non-judgmental way so that you can encourage men to actually enter the debate. But I'd also make one final point, and that is the world has changed. The game, it was not going back. All the misogynists of the world might want the structural shift to revert. They're not going to. More women are going into university than men. More women are coming out of university with better grades and going on and doing a second grade. So there is a structural shift that's quite significant right now, which means there is going to be a sharing of those fun jobs. And so we have to navigate a space where there is a greater degree of respect and understanding and where men are rewarded for being better leaders of gender equal teams.
And that's a conversation we're going to continue having, hopefully in this space and throughout the program for the rest of the hour. Helen McCabe, thank you so much for your insight.
Pleasure.
Stephanie has given us a call from Edith Vale. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. I'm in my 60s now, and my mother going off to the electoral lobby regularly. Her take on it has always been, it's always about choice. It boils down to one word, and that's choice. Whether you wanted to work or couldn't or didn't want to work, whether you wanted to get married or not married or have children or not, either. It was all about choice. That's what feminism was. Just choice. Yeah.
And having no judgment, having no one potentially question what feels right for you. But what Stephanie spoke about there, Nat, is, you know, her mum as well. And I think having that person of influence to help you either question your beliefs, question what the choices that you make, support you at the same time, having robust conversations, that doesn't happen in every household though, right? It's actually a privilege. Hand on heart, it would be a privilege if you had someone in your life, male or female, that started to make you think about, well, why were you told no there? Or why did someone say, why do you keep winning all of the cross country? Maybe you shouldn't run so fast or whatever it may be. Having that person of influence?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in a household that I would, I guess, describe as feminist. I mean, I think when I first started thinking about this, like, I mean, to me, I don't think I ever thought that I couldn't do certain things. But, you know, perhaps that was like more subtle than like expected, right? But I remember, like, my mum's a strong feminist. In certain ways, I remember the way that she told me she lost her faith. She grew up Orthodox Christian, and when she was like very young, she was told that she couldn't, she couldn't attend church because she was on her period. And from that point, she went, well, why? I was given this by God, our creator, so why would that be unclean or not
used against me now?
You know, why is that being used against me? And for her, like, not only did religion fall apart in that moment, but this idea of, you know, a way that we are oppressed as women really came to bear for her.
Amazing. This text, feminism is my core. It's vital. It's a lot of work, but it still has to be done. And this, don't a lot of feminists dislike men calling themselves feminist and not feminist allies? And another saying, feminism has probably gone too far the other way today. I feel that respect and admiration for women and what they can do needs to be recognised more, but where it goes wrong is the extreme hardcore feminists that ruin it for women in general. And this is where it's a divide.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Good morning, Rochelle Hunt here with you in Melbourne, joining you from our ABC Warrnambool studios. Dan Miles and Nat Tenchich is in the studio with you today as well, as we look at what it means to be a feminist. Jane Caro is a writer, a feminist, and one of the women behind Destroy the Joint Movement. Jane, you've been listening to a lot of today's conversation. A warm welcome to The Conversation Hour.
Thank you.
Feminism within the workplace. The idea now of more and more women are standing up for themselves, they're speaking up for themselves, either in meetings or in general day-to-day. But then what comes with that is this whole side serve of, oh, she's the angry one, she's the one that complains a lot. Is it 10 steps forward, you know, one step forward, 10 steps backwards when it comes to feminism within the workplace?
To be honest with you, I think it's 10 steps forward and two steps backwards everywhere, not just in the workplace. The workplace, I think, merely reflects what's going on in wider society. I mean, you've been talking about the definition of feminism, what people think feminism means, and I had a bit of an epiphany a while ago when I read Hugh Mackay's great book, What Makes Us Tick, and he said there are 10 desires that need to be met before you could live a reasonable life. He listed them in no particular order except the first, which was the desire to be taken seriously. And I realised that that's what my feminism is about, the desire to be taken seriously, whether that's at home, whether that's in the workplace, whether that's as a worker, as a voter, whether that's as a political candidate, whether that's as a creator or a creative, to be taken seriously. And I think when we look at what happens to women so often is that we are not taken as seriously as men. Our contributions, our word in court, our word about what has happened to us, what the experience of our lives are like, how we're treated in the workplace, discounted, told we're being hysterical, told to take a more measured tone is an often thing that's said to women when they get angry, justifiably angry, about the way things are going for us. I mean, all those women who marched over the weekend, I'm so sorry I couldn't be there, were protesting about things happening in their personal lives, but also in workplaces and just in the world in general, walking down the goddamn street, for goodness sake.
Jane, we're having this conversation amid, as you sort of touched on then, a real touch point for gendered violence. Does that change the way that people are thinking about feminism at the moment?
I hope so. I sincerely hope so, because we can't, there's nothing new about gendered violence. It's been around for as long as there's been society. What's changed is that feminism has shone a light on gendered violence and taken it, to use this phrase again, taken it seriously. When I was a girl, I'm 67 now, when I was a girl, we talked about battered wives syndrome and it was a joke. People joked about it. And the women carried the shame. There was all that stuff about walking into a door, you know, and there was this sense that the woman had failed in her job to keep her husband happy, and that's why he'd beaten her. These things needed feminism to reframe them, to relook at them, to take the woman's suffering and pain and fear seriously.
Jane Caro, stay with us. Alex is in Sunbury. Morning, Alex.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, what did you want to say?
Yeah, look, I just I'm a, you know, middle-aged white man in my mid-40s, and unfortunately, I'm trying to change my mind really, really hard. But unfortunately, I've been working in male-dominated industries for quite a while now, and I think the term feminism has got some negative connotations with it. I just think, from my personal experience, you know, when somebody says, "Oh, she's a feminist," or whatever, the first thing that's, you know, been referred to is like, oh, she's just an angry lesbian. And that is really negative. But unfortunately, from my experience, there's a lot of that. Still, the first thing that comes to a person's mind.
Alex, I'm really glad you called, and because we need the reality of this, right? Of discussions that are happening on factory floors, within workplaces. So if you heard that, Alex, and if you say you work in male-dominated areas and you heard someone say that, oh, she's just an angry lesbian, right? What do you do? Do you say anything? Well, do you keep quiet? I mean, in terms of how we shift the dial, what do you do in that instance?
Well, look, I don't do much. I admit that. And the reason is, say, the people I've been working for a very long time, I know those people, and one-on-one, they're not bad men. They don't hate women. They don't. It's more of that mob mentality kind of thing. And they do listen, and they do take on board most of the time what's been said. It's just that I think the poor woman that's saying something, you know, being an email or whatever, doesn't have to be in person, she starts off on a back foot straight away. And
but yeah, you've still, you know, you say you wouldn't say anything in that work environment. But what's prompted you to call today, Alex? I mean, you are speaking up, right?
Yeah. Oh, look, I just think, unfortunately, that term feminism, which I fully agree with the idea. I have two daughters. I hope they grow up in a better world than, you know, where I grew up kind of thing. And my wife's very successful. She's more successful work-wise than I am and everything. I'm very proud of her. Mm. I just think that term feminism, while I agree with the idea of it,
needs to change. Well, you're not alone there in people thinking the word needs to change. Alex, I'm really grateful that you called. Jane, I mean, that's the reality, right? It may be shocking, some of the things that Alex has said to some people, but to some people not, right? So we have to be realists, right?
Yeah, Alex is an honest man. He's telling it as I think you're right, it is. But feminism is a revolutionary movement. It aims to redistribute power. It's not here to be nice. Women have been nice. They've been placatory. They've been facilitating. They've been waiting for recognition, smiling and working really hard and being the wind beneath men's wings for, well, let's say 1,000 years. Got them precisely nowhere.
Well, exactly
so,
right.
Unfortunately, we do need to get angry and we do need to say to our brothers, no, what? We're not willing to soothe your ruffled feathers, not anymore. We need you, as Alex has talked about, to make that effort.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sandra in the Upper Fentry Gully says, Alex, unfortunately, is 100% right. That's where the problem is.
I think, Alex, the thing that I was going to say to Alex and the reason that I couldn't stop, like, I had a little laugh in there, but firstly because it was like, well, all women will be branded angry lesbians, and I'm like, ain't nothing wrong with being an angry lesbian. Sorry. Why is that a bad thing? But the thing I wanted to say to Alex just came in as a text, and I think it's so beautifully worded that I will throw it to this listener. But feminism has been purposely branded as negative because the patriarchy fears change and does not want women to have equal power and equal rights. The guy speaking is a victim of propaganda. And I think we need to think about that when we talk about why is feminism a dirty word, or, oh, should we change the term feminism?
Has
it become difficult?
Shifting. Alex still called us.
Yes, that's true. Which is great. So it's like he's seeing and hearing that this is a thing that needs to change.
But and there's self-awareness there too in what Alex is saying, which is, you know, these are incremental steps, but they are steps.
On Friday, Jane Caro, we had a conversation around, I guess, some of the band-aid things that women are doing to protect themselves whilst we wait for significant governmental change. Mm. And a woman rang and she spoke about being in a board meeting and how she was spoken to really poorly and disrespectfully. And she had the confidence to stand up for herself, but nobody around her, which were all men, did. But two of the men rang her afterwards and apologised. Mm. And I had this really conflicted emotional response to that, right? Because part of me was angry at those men for saying, well, why didn't you stand up at the time? But then the other part of me went, the fact that they recognised her, rang her and apologised is change. Change is slow and then it's fast. So the Alexes of the world, the men that rang her later and apologised, is that good but not good enough?
Look, I have a lot of sympathy on an individual level for people like Alex who are struggling with the concept. But to some extent I am a bit over, like, it's, I've been fighting this battle for at least 55 years. And you do tend to get a bit weary of the same discussions and the same arguments and the same, our very, very low bar for male behaviour before we say it's good. Do you know what I mean? Whereas our bar for female behaviour is so high before we'll give them any credit. That is one of the things in which we are not taken seriously. And so I'm a little bit sterner perhaps these days. And I really want to say, I mean, I had a very similar experience to the woman in the meeting where I was publicly humiliated at a large conference. And a man sent me a note afterwards and said, in the audience, and said, I totally agree with you. I'd asked a question. I totally agree with your point. My wife is going through the same thing right now. It was all about how do you manage children and work and all that kind of thing. And I wrote at the bottom of the note and handed it back, and I said, well, that's very nice of you to say now, but why didn't you get up and say so at the time publicly? Because men are always telling us how brave and tough they are. Mm. Well, I'd like to see some evidence of that. I think that, you know, we really do have to start saying to men, women have changed beyond all recognition in the last 50 years. When I think back to the kind of way that women thought about themselves when I was a girl, you know, the internalized misogyny was powerful and very, very debilitating. We didn't think we were as intelligent. We were told we weren't. We believed them despite getting better marks at school. On and on it went with the minimization of ourselves. We sort of cooperated with that lack of self-esteem that we've thrown off, and we've become so open and so courageous about our lives and the difficulties that we shoulder and the desire to have that taken seriously, to use that phrase again. What hasn't changed enough? Women have changed. What hasn't changed enough is still male culture. Lots of men have changed, and that's fantastic. But far too many men who have changed sit silently when the men around him who haven't do the sorts of things Alex was talking about. Until they stand up, the change will be terribly slow, and women will pay for that.
And we need to keep that pressure on men, and it's men that'll be doing that. Jane Caro, as much as anyone, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Pleasure.
Jane Caro, a writer and feminist and one of the women behind the Destroy the Joint movement. Some powerful stuff there coming through, Rish.
I know. It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, there's lots of men, thank goodness, ringing in and talking about this. There's a text here saying, I'm 75. My father was a feminist. He always supported women and called out any bad male behaviour that assumed inequality between sexes. But then others that we expected that would come in that say, all you do is men bash. How can you have a real and open and honest conversation without being labelled a man basher?
Well, I think it's really, really difficult. But again, this is the thing that distracts from making change happen, where we say we don't like individual men, the not all men cry gets to come out, when what we don't like is systems that create privileges for men that women aren't afforded. That's what we are talking about. It's a distinction between, hey, individual guys. Why did all of those guys in that situation feel like they couldn't speak up, they couldn't say something in front of their peers? Because of that system of power, because of that patriarchy, because of what keeps, you know, men on top and women below.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Good morning, Rochelle Hunt, Dan Miles and Nat Tenchich with you this morning as we pull apart what it means to be a feminist and how it's changed over the years. Let's go to Judy, who's in Bendigo, while we try and figure that out. Hi, Judy.
Yeah. Hi, thank you very much for letting me talk. I really want to raise the issue of the elephant, plural, in the room that nobody is discussing with this subject. And it's really important to discuss it because women are being hurt, maimed, killed, etc. And that is the greatest women-hating propaganda that has ever been unleashed on humanity, and which is pornography. Now, pornography is a highly lucrative industry, so there's always a lot of trolls that put women down, who speak about the negative influence it has. But men now have access to 24/7 pornography, whereas they used to have to go and get their dad's Playboy magazine. Yeah.
The proliferation of online porn, I think, is a huge part of how women are potentially dehumanised. I don't think we can say all pornography is bad, but then looking at the dehumanisation and how we treat women. Throw a grenade in here to you, Nat Tenchich, because I know, well, you've looked at sexual health a lot within your career.
Absolutely.
I mean, Judy is right in the sense of there is a lot of really awful stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, New Zealand, for example, has just started a series of TV commercials, so aimed at parents, where a mum answers the door and two online porn stars are standing there stark naked at the door and they say, we're here to see your son. He visits us all the time. Where, you know, you need to have a conversation with him about that. She's like, what, really? I've never seen you. They're like, she's like, yeah, well. And and so it started a conversation. The government in New Zealand is trying to educate parents, to educate in particular their sons about how women are treated in porn.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, I don't think pornography in and of itself is an evil, right? It's what is made and how we make it and how we, like, have literacy around it and what it says. And the thing that I would disagree with Judy about is this idea that it's pornography that is causing misogyny and not that. And
it's a part of it, though.
Not that a culture of misogyny allowed content like this to flourish. Like, chicken or egg, right? Like, which came first? There's been, you know, there's been abuse of women. There's been leering of women for long before there was internet
but
porn.
If chicken and egg, but then you can still. How do you put the genie back in the bottle? With porn, there's, to a certain degree, you can put the genie back in the bottle.
Sure, absolutely. And it's just one of the ways or one of the approaches that we can take to putting forward respect for women. I think, like, there's been some really great texts coming through that are like, respect, respect, respect.
Yeah.
Honestly, at the end of the day, what it really comes down to is, do you respect women as people, right? And so much of, like, what feminism is trying to do is find that, because with that comes all of these other benefits that we're talking about: safety, freedom, freedom from violence, freedom to earn as much, to be successful, all of these things. It comes down to, Do you respect women as human beings, autonomous human beings that can make a choice, that can say that they don't want to do something that, that a man does or asks of them? It's kind of as simple as that.
Yeah, and there's two big P words that we're seeing right through the text line. One of those is pornography, but the other is patriarchy. And in many ways, they are entwined.
Rochelle Hunt and Daniel Miles with you, Nan Tencic. Nat Tencic is with you as well, producer and presenter from RN, including Life Matters. What I'm loving about the calls and the texts that we're getting today is I actually think it's a 50-50 split of men and women that are texting in, and men talking about being a feminist, having a feminist father. This is important, and this is the shift that I've particularly noticed. Less of the, oh, here we go, another feminist hour, blah, blah, blah. Less of that is coming through today. So I've sensed a shift.
That's heartening. That's really heartening to see. It's heartening to feel. Change happens slowly, as we've been saying, right? But it takes a lot of pushing. It takes a lot of hard work. Like Jane Carrow was saying, it takes a lot of angry people to continue being angry and sustain that anger for a really long time to get people to a point where we go, hang on, if you're this angry about something, something has to be going on, right? Something has to be happening that is, we should be paying attention to this. There are enough people that start to listen, that start to hear, enough men that start to talk to other men and go, like, why is this happening? Enough men that go, actually, I'm starting to feel like I can turn around and I can support women and I can be part of this conversation as well. It's really heartening. Thank you for texting in. And what you're seeing now more, I think, is more men willing to speak up in front of other men, which is incredibly important.
We're seeing a lot on the text line, this idea of a male feminist, and there's some people suggesting that men can't be feminists, that you can be a feminist ally, but you can't be a feminist. What do you make of that?
I don't necessarily agree, like, because there's nothing in the rule book of feminism that says you have to be a woman to be a feminist. To be a feminist just means that you believe in, you know, women's rights, women's power, and, like, the equality of women, right? That does not... There's nowhere on the definition line, there's nowhere on the card when you sign up that says you have to be a woman. And again, as we were talking about earlier, however you define that fact. Yep.
And where you find the opportunities in life to question, to push back, to discuss, you know, whether it be a Taylor Swift headline or there's a text here from Kate that says, it's only a small thing, but I hate seeing young women running the water to AFL players. It seems like such a backward step for feminism. Why don't young men run the water? The players never look at the women, they never thank them. Women are providing a service to some very entitled young men. P.S. I love football. For some reason, this really annoys me. I reckon I've noticed.
I've noticed that too. But it's just that... I always watch their lips and just say, I can tell who's a decent person if they say thank you. It's such a small thing, just say thank you.
So these are the small moments, right? So if you're watching that at home with mates, with men, women, kids, it's an opportunity to say he did or didn't say thank you.
Yeah.
Just point it out. Just point it out. Why are they, you know, it's like similarly in sport with the Formula One or whatever, why are they grid girls?
Mm-hmm.
What's that about? Why do they exist? They're decoration. And so when it's acceptable to use a woman as decoration, we have to think that there is a very big difference between what a woman's value is and what their purpose is and what they're good for and what a man's is.
This shows you how sad my weekends are. I went to the home show on the weekend a couple of weeks ago, but there was another show on that was a car-based show. And I kid you not, there was probably about 20, maybe 30 grid-type women. So women in, you know, the chain Hooters in America that looked like that had short undies on, that all had cleavage out, that women were all dressed up in a very sexualized way to promote and to hand out flyers for this car show. And it was so in your face. And I had this moment where I'm like, I've got to talk about this with my daughter. Like, what's going on? Yes, you have the right as a young woman to do that as a job, but at the same time, why are these young women being used in a sexual way to promote something that is predominantly a male event that was on. But at the same time, I don't want to say to these women, you're not allowed to do that job.
No, I suppose not. But the job exists for the gratification of men and the selling of a product to a man. So it's like you have become a piece of advertising for the sake of men's gratification. Again, as the liberal feminist, you want to be like, do whatever job you want. It's fine. But it's about power and agency. It's about who you're doing that job for and what it contributes to the world and to society and what that means, what that says. So if you're a woman that's like, cool, my job is I'm decoration, then we need to consider like what the role of women is in our society. And is it okay that women are just in certain circumstances just decoration?
And that's the conversation I had to have with my 10-year-old.
Mm.
Because I couldn't ignore it, right?
Yeah.
But I couldn't ignore it.
Yeah.
It was quite literally in my face.
Truly.
And I was a bit shocked, actually. I thought, wow, I didn't think that still happened anymore. But apparently it does. So
yeah, objectification for financial gain. It's something that's gone on for millennia, but the fact that it still is happening, the silver lining is that's an amazing lesson for your daughter, and it's one that we need to teach all young men and women. It's not just your 10-year-old daughters. It's your 10-year-old boys as well, and that's something that's also coming up on the text line as well.
Mm. Thank you. Nat Tenchich, producer, presenter of RN, including shows like Life Matters, as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Miles, joining you from ABC Warrnambool, mate. Thank you. I'll speak to you next week.
Chat soon.
Don't forget, The Conversation Hour is also a podcast. You can share this. Just go to the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.